I'd like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. We've opened thy word. We're looking to you, Spirit of God, to help us to understand, that we can withstand, that we can stand. God, we want to represent you properly and rightly here in time. So deal with us, deal with the children, the babies, all. Looking to you, in Christ's name, amen. In our study, we looked at the truth, wonderful truth, that God made it possible for Israel to be a special people above all people of the earth. And he gave them the privilege of representing him. He is the Most High God. And therefore, they are placed on high. That is, their privileged height position. So that all the world, like on top of a mountain, the light, so that all the world could see them and note them, and note the message of God and the grace of God. So in doing that, and keeping that in mind, then God gave them, told them that they would have the right to enjoy the high privilege of being a high people. And thus, of all the people in the earth, they would be above them. They would have a marvelous advantage in the grace of God. At the same time, they're down on earth, and they are people. There's people all around them with all their high places, all their religious systems, all the things that pride produces to push itself center-wise, self-centered, and away from God. Pride. And thus high places to elevate ourselves, to make note of ourselves by all kinds of ways. And thus Israel is in the midst of that. And they are to show the high privilege of knowing God in a wonderful way. And thus the church, they didn't enjoy that high place. They were to walk like hinds feet upon high places. But they didn't enjoy that. The church, the Lord Jesus Christ did. And the Lord Jesus Christ came along and gave us the privilege as his body of the church to be seated in heavenly places, to have such a high position. All the while, we're on earth, in it, but not of it. And all around us is everything that is low, not high. High places, the world's pride, governments, possession, power, politic, all over the place. And then here we are. And we are to be a people that represents the Most High God. Israel failed. They will succeed in the future. Here's the church and the believers, the professing body of believers, and they have failed, basically. And thus our privilege. Now, God, what is it? We want to claim that. And could you give us another example of how to do that? And thus, Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, children of light, walking in the light as he is in the light, children of light. Now, and thus made us meet, fit, competent, sufficient. He qualifies us for a position. To meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the rest of them, be able to walk in the light as he is in the light, and made that possible for us. Now, having said that, how so? Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. He's made us sufficient. Now remember, you're in the system, believers are. They're given great privilege to be above the system. They're in it, but not of it. They have huge advantage. They have the advantage of God all the time. Thus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, here's to the Corinthians. Remember now, the Corinthians are an assembly of believers that had difficulties, problems. And they're dealt with in 1 Corinthians, and they're dealt with again in 2 Corinthians. And they needed to understand something about, do we just proudly get up there and do whatever? No, not that way. And they weren't under the same persecution in the same way that the people in northern Greece were there, getting clobbered just like they would be in Jerusalem. And they're looking pretty good. They're in that place that everything seems all right, but it isn't all right. Now, the remnant of believers needed to be understanding what? Not to be discouraged. They were in a situation where the people all around them were self-centered, self-sufficient, and basically looking to God, but not looking to God. Not like they would be in the Laodicean age, like we are now, but similar. And they had their thing. But here's a remnant trying to do the right thing, and they're getting clobbered, more or less, in trying to do it. So don't get discouraged trying to do the right thing in the right way. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, and you'll see the word meet, M-E-E-T, in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient, there's your word, M-E-E-T, not that we are sufficient, meet, able, competent, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency, our competency, our ability, the reason we are fit and qualified is of God. God did it. We are not self-approved people. We did not self-approve our position and self-approve what we're doing. God qualified us and made us something. So it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. Verse 6. Who hath made us able ministers, sufficient ministers, able, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Just written words aren't going to do it. No, there's going to have to be some empowering of life to make those words live. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in. So, A, the believer needs to know, Paul reminded us in Colossians and here, of that our sufficiency, our competency, our ability, our fitness, that which qualifies us, isn't anything of us. It's of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's we're to be competent. Now, and secondly, look over if you would, Second Corinthians chapter 1, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up please in verse 3, blessed be the God, even of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. All comfort, the word comfort, calling near to oneself, to aid, to help, for encouragement, exhortation, admonishment. So here we have the comfort. We're to be sufficient, but not in ourselves. How can we possibly pursue this? Well, not in ourselves, and not because of ourselves. It's because of God. And we want to keep in mind that in verse 3, chapter 1, that God is the God of every kind of encouragement, comfort, and support. And verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, pressure, there's the other word, pressure, squeezing, being pressured, oppressed, thronged, pressured, oppression, all those words, squeezing, pressure. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? So we ought to be competent. We ought to be comforted, encouraged. Where? When? In the tribulation. The tribulation, the trial, the squeezing, the pressure, because we're in the world. And the world is doing its pushing, pressing, oppressing. It's doing its thing. So we live in the world, doing all its thing. That's right. So on the one hand, we're to be very competent, sufficient. And we're to be very encouraged. Even though our situation is here and not there. Thus, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, the word trouble, like tribulation, pressure, who are in like conditions. They live in the same world we do. How are we going to do that? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God does something for us, and we want them to know, by us being comforted, that they could be comforted. They live in the same world we do, and they ought to be comforted and to be recognized that God died on the cross for them, and that they are able to be comforted and competent, qualified by God. So here they are, believers, and we're the believers, Corinthians, if you would just do it. There's high places for you to go, claim them, but how am I going to claim them? Well, you've got to do it. But here, how can you claim Pleasure Island when you're in the cesspool? How do you claim that? How do you do that? Well, 2 Corinthians, by competency, by being sufficient, by being comforted, in the world that is very, very troubling, to say the least. 1 and 8, chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of our trouble, there's your word, affliction, trouble, pressing, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. What kind of situation was it? Insomuch that we despaired even of life, we were going to die. We were going to die. The situation was desperate from a human standpoint and hopeless. But, verse 9, we had the sentence, the answer, judicial answer, death. We had the sentence of death. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. God had made a way for us to do it. God wasn't counting on us. When Christ died, you died. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you died anyway. That's how God makes it possible for you to receive the gospel and be saved. So, we have the sentence, the answer of death. And that means God isn't counting on us. God's counting on himself. We aren't going to qualify ourselves to be competent. God makes us competent. We aren't going to be encouraged and try to encourage ourselves in the thick and thin of it. No. That's God's job, to qualify us and to equip us and encourage us in the midst of it all. That's high places to walk upon as hinds feet. You're under it, but you're above it. Now, having said that, in verse 9, but we have the sentence, the answer of death in ourselves. Why is that? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So it's a process. We got saved. God continues to save us. Even we didn't die. And to boot, who knows what next week is? But the God who got us this far isn't going to quit. Whatever he starts, he's going to finish. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Now you read it, let me go back to it. Wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, service, waiting on God, as we have received mercy, that's the only way you can be there, get there. God saves us by his mercy and grace, nothing to do with our goodness, our merit, or anything. And to boot, we faint not. We faint not. We faint, and there's the issue. We are not going to get discouraged. The word faint means out of. And then you take another word and tie that to the word out of. Bad, weak, faint. Out of bad. We faint not. We are not faint-hearted. We don't give up. We haven't given over. Haven't given up. In fact, the word is to retreat in battle. The word is the coward. A coward. A coward retreats. We are not cowards. We are not in retreat. We are not losing our alliance, our allegiance. We haven't lost it. We're on course. We aren't discouraged. We aren't hopeless. On the contrary, here we are, Corinthians. Verse 8. We are troubled. There's your word. We are troubled. Pressured, squeezed on every side. We're troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're more than conquerors. That's right. We claim the high places. We walk our high places. Our high place. We walk on their high places and our high places with hinds feet. How are we going to do this? Well, God makes us qualified, competent. God's there encouraging us to do it. And he knows all the conditions, all about your life, to the nth degree. We're troubled on every side. But hey, what's new? What's new? That's what we're here for. And we don't retreat. We don't retreat. We don't surrender, is the word. No allegiance. God, we owe you. We are not to be despondent. No, not discouraged, despondent. Now, having said that, chapter 4, verse 16. What does it mean to claim your high place? To go there? Well, competent, comfortable. Trouble? That's right. That's the whole point. To be able to win. To be above it all. Above it all and yet in it. In the thick of it. Wow. Chapter 4 and verse 16. We'll see the word again. For which cause we faint not. We faint. We don't retreat. We are not cowards. We faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, decaying, wasting away, corrupting, being corrupted, thoroughly corrupted. For we faint not, we aren't going to retreat. No, even though what? The whole thing, you're going, there's nothing. You're failing. That's right. Outward man is perishing. It isn't getting stronger. You think it's getting stronger, but it isn't getting stronger. No, on the contrary. Yet, the inward man is renewed day by day, is renewed. His wonderful life, as you read in Colossians, in Corinthians 4, his wonderful life is to be expressed. And his life is given for our living. That's why we have Christ as our Savior, so that we can have such a wonderful, he makes us fit, qualified to enjoy the life that he gives us. So that we are blessed with all heavenly blessings in Christ. But we're blessed with those blessings. And we have how much of Christ? All there is. Every believer has all there is. You don't get more. You don't get any more of God, any more of Christ. You either let Christ outwork his life or you don't. You aren't going to get more of it. And as you proceed down the corridor, the life of his life will outwork itself. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the light of that, or if you would, and remember now, just to, in the process here, a little side thing to add, remember, in the world tries to have everything, and you ought to know, Matthew chapter 6, that all the world wants to survive, all the world wants to succeed. Without me, without God. But God said, you don't have to do that. You aren't qualifying yourself for success. I qualify you for success. You aren't trying to conjure yourself up to be good enough and great enough and faithful enough. No, that's my job, to help you, to stimulate your heart and mind to enjoy all that I've done for you. And I want you to know, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you and the world doesn't have me as their father. I am their creator and redeemer. And in fact, I am their father. I created them. But I want you to know, they do not know me as father. You do. You do. Thus, hang on to that. Thus, here we are in God's, what are we to do? We're to be renewed, new in place of the old. We're to be renewed in day by day. It doesn't say every month. It means on a daily basis, you go through whatever and it takes it out of you and you put more in. You put food in, burn it up, put food in, burn it up. Around and around, you breathe the air in, you breathe the air out, and in and out, and day by day, moment by moment, it outworks itself in God's wonderful grace. And we're renewed in the inner man. So the outer man, there's no question, but the inner man, that's something else. And thus, we are constantly being renewed. Experiential knowledge. We have wonderful knowledge. Wonderful knowledge, experiential knowledge, Colossians 3:10, so that we can be changed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. He provides, what is the standard God? Watch now, going to get worn down, a human perishing body, down, trusting Christ, my Savior, your Savior, trusting Christ and his Christ. Christ, you're perfect, that's right. Perfect life, perfect health. Perfect God, that's right. So here I am being down and I'm looking to God. God, what is the standard for my renewing in the light of I'm perishing, in the light of in the world of trouble? What is the standard, God? What are you going to do? How much? According to the person of Jesus Christ, I'm going to renew you. Colossians 3:10. I'm going to take every time, every day, second by second, moment by moment, and I'm going to keep you in mind that you're where you are, perishing. And in Christ, you are, that's how I see you, perfect, filled full in him. That's how I see you. Now, having said that, such it's a wonderful thing, you know. Thus, this renewing, this wonderful renewing in the image, Colossians 3:10, if you would. God giving us such experiential position. And thus, verse 17, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. God, you have done such a wonderful thing for us. Renewed in after the Creator, the image of the Creator. Chapter 4, verse 17. Day by day we're renewed, keeping in mind for our light affliction, for a light affliction, pressure, squeezing, a light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A heavy burden, here we are, seems contradictory. Such an experience, that's right. You have a light of affliction, which is very heavy. You're perishing. You're in a body, in a troubled pressure cooker. You're in the world. But, and that's light, L-I-G-H-T, light. But, your heavenly glory, all that you're getting, is very heavy. So in the world, it's, well, the real world is, boy, it's boy hard. No, God said, that's light. What I'm doing in you is heavy. Heavy. See? Make sure you understand the comparison. Oh, no. Oh, yes. It's what I'm doing in you that's wonderful. Out here, nothing. Nothing. Oh, it is. But no, it isn't. No, it isn't. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's wonderful, wonderful working. God's timeless. God gives us his timeless eternity to tackle time. How's that? You have eternity. That means timelessness. As the seconds go by, in whatever it is you're into, you're working with timelessness, eternity. And all of a sudden, time is little. Eternity is timeless. And so whatever it is, it's light. Oh, it's so long! Really? Make your comparisons correctly. I'm giving you eternity to work out time. And eternity has no problem. And neither do you. Now, thus, chapter 5. Chapter 5, God, are you doing it? Yeah. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Yeah, the perishing, that's right, it's going to go. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. God, we're still in the body, and we understand, we just got the comparison, and we're looking to get out of here, even though it's light, and to get to where it's heavy, to where you are. Thus, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for this self same thing is whom? God. Who hath given us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to see that you enjoy, if you're a believer, the high places, the benefits of the Most High God. To enjoy being in the thick of it and wonderfully above it. The Spirit of God's ministry is for that. Now you can't get the above it till you enjoy the in it. Otherwise, there's no comparison. You have to be in it to know of it, you see. God, thank you. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body than be present with the Lord. That's right. That's right. No question. It's not conditions, not circumstances, etc. It's Christ. Now, the issue then isn't whether I'm here or there. That's right. Here or there, it doesn't make any difference. The issue is to honor Christ and be more than a conqueror, to walk and claim your high places, claim your privilege as a child of God who has a heavenly Father who loves him and gave himself for them. Claim it. Claim it. You don't need to be there. You're here. Do it here. Location isn't the issue. So, God, where's our hope? Well, I think you remember. You told me, God. You did tell me. Colossians 1:27, you reminded us that this wonderful mystery, this present truth that's taking place right now is the wonderful privilege of knowing the Most High God in a most high and holy way, happy way. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? You already have the hope. You already have it. Oh, I needed it. No, you already have it. I just can't wait for heaven. That's true. But it isn't the issue. It isn't the issue. I didn't come to get you to heaven, primarily. I came to demonstrate to angels, good and bad, the purpose of your creation was for me to find my home in your heart. That's the purpose. No matter where it is. Thus, and thus the conditions. So, having said that, in the midst of it all, midst of all the movement, caring, working out things, you know, would you please note over, if you would, verse chapter 4, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So we're going to enjoy a transition, exchanged life, going to look to God, and he's going to do a wonderful thing in us. So I'm not looking for me to do it. I didn't qualify myself, and I don't encourage myself. God, you have to do that. And so, verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that's why. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh that's perishing. So then, death, verse 12, worketh in us, but life in you. So we demonstrate the wonderful, wonderful life that you give us. And in the midst of the trial, and we were troubled over chapter 7, if you would, and picking up, please, in chapter 7, all going to verse 4 even. For I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying in you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation, pressure squeezing. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled, pressure squeezing, on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Did you get discouraged? Did you faint? Did you retreat? Did you change your allegiance? Did you lose your faithfulness? Did you lose your heart? No. Nevertheless, God, that comforts us, comforts those that are cast down, and that's the purpose, God, to encourage us, so when we're down, we don't stay down. We just keep going and going and going and going. And the Duracell, whatever battery it is, doesn't stand a chance in competition. Battery's going to fail long before you do, hopefully. Now, and in verse 6, the end, who comforteth us by the comfort of coming of Titus. So, God, are you conscious of the world in which we live? Absolutely. Absolutely I am. And I understand it. Thus, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. God, you have made all these things so possible for us. We don't need to be discouraged. We're supposed to be competent, comfortable. God, you have made our heart home, your personal residence, and for our personal reliance. And thus, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, And remember now, this section is, remember when we did Corinthians, at least up to chapter 10. Remember now, in verse 14, you begin the section, the whole section, Paul tells you, how come I'm more than a conqueror? How come that we can succeed? How come that we have high places? We claim the high places. And then he's telling you how he does it. He said, we aren't drawing back. We aren't falling down. We're going up the mountain. We're running true to course. Chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, always, always. Now, you got that? Always. Thanks be to God, always causes us to triumph. So something always, and that's to be able to be triumphant, victorious, to be overcoming. Overcoming, how can we do so? Well, your outward man is perishing. Your inward man is renewed day by day. Colossians 3:10, you might want to hold your finger here, and we'll read it this time. Colossians 3:10. And in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, new, as opposed to the old, different, new, put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And we just keep God, God the creator, and we're learning, exercising, experientially, we're understanding. It's an experience. And that we find out that the more, like in Isaiah 40, the more we die and run, we should get weary. And though our body gets weary, we are not weary. Weary. Though we're weak, but we stay strong. We should fail, but we don't. We should be overcome with life's problems, but we aren't. After the image of him. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge. Remember what's the knowledge? We're being renewed in knowledge. What are you doing? Well, you're learning something. You're learning something that you should have failed, you didn't. You should have dropped, you didn't. Should have flunked, but you didn't. You should have ran out of steam, but you didn't. That's the whole point. Perishing and yet renewed, moment by moment, day by day. Well, maketh manifest the savor of the knowledge, of his knowledge. That's what we're learning, Colossians 3:10. By us, in every place. So every place we go, we're more than conquerors. We're claiming the high ground. It's ours. It's ours to claim. God has given it. We're seated in heavenly places. God has given us the privilege of sitting there so that we can see the whole world. How do we see the whole universe? How do we see all of time? We're located in Christ. Located in Christ. And we see the big picture. The biggest picture of all in Christ. Now, at the same time, Christ is in us. That's our little world. Our little world. Big world, little world. Christ in us. I don't know the big world. God does. And that's my position in the Most High God. Is it not yours? And, Christ in us. Wow. Therefore, what do we know? In everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, in all things, give thanks. How can that be? Because Christ here, I'm in Christ there, the whole big picture. And I got the little picture. That's my little life. Work, home, school, play, same refrigerator, everything. That's Christ. for my world so that I can live. Wow. Wow, that's right. And in every place, and thus we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, odor to them that are saved, to them that are perishing. To the one hand, we're a pain in the neck. Why can't you think like we do, act like we do what we do? Well, because I'm not like you anymore. I'm not like you anymore. I don't want to be like you anymore. I don't want anything to do with what you do or think anymore. I'm finished. I'm finished. I'm a pilgrim, a stranger. I don't belong here. Now, I wouldn't say that much that way. I would nicely say, listen, apart from the grace of God, I'd be like you. I'd think like you, and I'd probably be worse than you. But God made me qualified, competent. God, in his great comfort, encouragement, stimulus, gave me the whole lot to live in according to his goodwill. And I'm to be thankful in it, even though it's pressurizing and terrible. And I never have been in a pressure cooker. I think we had a pressure cooker once. And, you know, you put the cover on, you can't. Anyway, we might have had one. Anyway, we have a pressure cooker. Yeah, no pressure cooker. Pressure gets pretty pressury, doesn't it? I got to tell you, pressure cooker. Oh, wow. But God, the unsaved world, they don't want to hear. They don't want to know. They don't want to understand. And, on the other hand, to the one, to the saved, we're an encouragement. We ought to be an encouragement. We ought to be encouragement to come and trust the great God, the great Savior. That's what it's all about. To the one, verse 16, we are the savor of death. Death unto death. To the other, a savor, fragrance, odor of life unto life. And who is sufficient? Who is sufficient? Who's competent? Who's able? Who's fit? Who qualifies? God qualifies you for that assignment to ride the high places and have hinds feet to travel in terrible, dangerous, difficult, draining, depressing, discouraging. And yet, thankful, counting it all joy, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is to be found. And the world says, go away. We want to be religious. We want to be able to go to church and not have to have that. Understand? And that's why you don't have it as like it should be. Because who wants that? Who wants that? No one wants that. No, I don't mind being a Christian. Christian? As a communist, cultist, and Catholic. I'm a Christian. I don't want to be that. No, that's a cult. No, it's Christ, not a cult. It's the person of Jesus Christ, a person that makes you that wonderful person to climb the high places. Thus, over if you would. You got the idea? Paul, are we faint? We faint not. We are not retreating. If you think we're discouraged, we aren't. I almost lost my life, 2 Corinthians 1:8. We were dying. We were going to die. We didn't think we'd live. But hey, God's there. God qualifies us for this whole journey, this whole place that we have to spend after knowing you, God. You leave us here, not of it, but in it. And how long we spend, God. Wow. Over in, if you would, to chapter 9. Over to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And remember what you just read. in verse 14, chapter 2. Now, thanks be unto God. The word thanks is the word grace. 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 And when, remember you did all this, when the grace of God, we received the grace of God. That's right. Now, what do we do? What does the grace of God do? It comes back that we've got the grace of God, and the way to be, we don't say, God, you're graced. No, we say, God, thank you. The grace of God gets us and produces thanksgiving to God. And it's translated, thank you. Thus, when you come to the end of the section, chapter 9, verse 15, I'll even read verse 14. For by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, untranslatable, how do we explain that? How do we explain this? You can't. It's a gift. Gift. Thanks be unto God. The grace, the word grace. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. How so? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift that makes it possible for us to be qualified, for us to be competent, for us to be comforted, for us to be able to continue, to be able to go down the corridor of time without some stupid thing going on in our head, to be able to be simple, not to lose the simplicity that is found in Christ, to lose the simpleness of the good news, you see. Wow. And the good news is nothing other than you, God. And God, the good news. That means always you, always your presence, and always good, and always gracious. Good news. Christ in you, good God. Gracious God. Good. Good news. See, how are we going to handle it? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Wow. Thus, I trust you would rest, be resting in his residency. I hope and trust that you would receive him as your Savior. That's the only way you're going to make it. Oh, I did. Ah. Now, how do you claim success? You rely on his residency. It's one thing to say, have food in the refrigerator. It's another thing to sit at the table and starve. You open a refrigerator door. God gave it to you. He's going to open the door for you. You do it. God gave it to you. What can I do, God, more? He said, I already gave you myself. Now, you want to pull something out and play a game with me? I already gave it to you. Don't ask me for something that I've already given you, because you'll never get an answer. All you can have is understanding that you're goofing, you're missing the boat. I already gave it to you, you see. God, thanks. Thank you for your unspeakable gift. I'm not going to retreat. We faint not. You going to be a coward? No, I don't like cowards. I'd be a coward, right? I don't have time to be a coward, you know. Why is that? Because the battle's on. If the battle would just go away and I could rest and relax and make believe the war isn't on. But the war is on. And there is no rest. There is no rest, not like that. So therefore, we do the job. Go on. Thank you. No retreat. Not going to change my allegiance either. I'm not going to be disloyal, which is the word. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in and give up. I can't do it. Can't do it, God. Because you made it possible for me to climb and claim the high places. You made it possible for me, God, to move through time on top of it all the while I'm under it. How about that? How about that? Huh? Wow. Boy, that's something to do, isn't it? Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heart and head. Thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. And God, thank you. So deal with us. Honor yourself. Spirit of God, honor your word. Honor your saving work. And for those, boy, girl, man, or woman, that knows you not as their Lord and Savior, God, convict them. For real, not no hypocrite, no profession with no possession. No, God, help us. And for those of us who know you, claim to have received you, God, we don't want to go and just keep going and going and going and going and going. God, no, you made it so that we would be able to enjoy your residence, your presidency, with a full, wonderful reliance upon the resource of your wonderful person. God, thank you. So deal with us, Spirit of God, honor your word and work, and we'll thank you for each dear one. God, bless them because of who you are. Bless us with a wonderful life, experiential working that brings our heart into harmony with your holy heaven. And our God will thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing a stanza, please, number 74. 74.